Baldy, I know you spent a couple of days there, and then Jason, I want to hear from you. What were your interpretations of the combine this year?
Well, I mean, it is the NFL's version of the winter meetings of baseball. So everybody is there. I mean, you take two steps. I mean, I see Leslie Frazier, and next thing I know, I'm bumping into Mike McDonald, and we're talking about Seattle. Or I'm sitting down talking to a friend at the JW Marriott, and here's Aaron Glenn walking up. I mean, you literally can't take two steps and not bump into somebody and have some kind of conversation. So, I mean, that's sort of the landscape. But we knew, just going back, because it really begins at the Senior Bowl and it just keeps building. And so what we saw at the Senior Bowl was a very talented and deep defensive line class. And it got confirmed by the testing, what the guys did, throughout Thursday afternoon, Thursday night, right into the linebackers on Friday. And then we saw a really fast and deep running back class. We thought it was going to be, even with Ashton Jeanty not testing. He probably wishes he did after what some of the guys did and some of the times that they ran. But I think those are two classes, two groups that we're going to see, you know, an awful lot of names. We're going to get to know the names, but it's a deep defensive line class. It's going to be a defensive draft. And at the very top, like it was last year, all offense and quarterbacks, I think this is what we're going to see. And I think it was confirmed by some of the testing that we saw.
Yeah, and Jason, last year the first edge rusher wasn't taken until the teens, right?
I think
it was 16. Correct. So that was the first edge rusher off the board. That won't be the case this year, will it?
No, I mean, some of this injury, you know, surgery, no surgery stuff with Abdul Carter is kind of interesting. And this is why the combine really exists. It's for what Baldy talked about, the winter meetings, get together, plot your deals. But it's the medical part of this and having different teams sort of, you know, their team doctors working in these pools, looking at these players and sort of look, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but talking out some of these medical situations and how much of a red flag certain things are for certain teams. As much as we talk about how they analyze things differently, how front offices operate differently in terms of how they spend their money, allocate their cap, there's definitely differences in teams' willingness to risk things from a health standpoint. You know, otherwise, I don't know, guys. I think the biggest story of the combine was Jordan Schultz versus Ian Rappaport. Like, I mean, it's kind of a nothing burger. There were agents for quarterbacks trying to push guys up, you know, generating steam for the Louisville kid. There was a Will Howard hype train that was going on up until Will Howard had to step out on the field. So there's buyer beware in this quarterback market. At the same time, to the winter meetings part of things, agents who represent some quarterbacks in this draft, as well as quarterbacks on the potential trade or free agent market, were getting the Heisman from teams. You know, like Sam Darnold looking for $40 million. That's not out there. Now, maybe a week from now, 2 weeks from now, it changes. And a team caves and then other teams cave. But the sense I was getting from agents for quarterbacks and from people who work for teams that need quarterbacks is there's a recalibration here. And none of these guys are probably getting what they thought they were going to get just out of desperation. Doesn't mean somebody won't change reverse course. But these teams,
collusion?
I don't know. But they were holding a hard line with this quarterback class. And I think that probably will largely remain the case. And I'm not sure too many of them are going to love the financial package they get. And I just still wonder if Sam Darnold ends up, especially with Matt Stafford staying in LA, if Sam Darnold ends up back in Minnesota, but at the Vikings price and way below a franchise tag and below a transition tag.
Well, to the point about, you know, the winter meetings, I sat in a particular team's box on Friday, and their general manager was never there. He was busy talking to agents.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're talking about, you know, whether it's the workings for a deal or trades that might come down or free agency. I mean, he's got all his minions doing all the work.
Yes.
That's one thing. Number two, and this is what we never learn. It gets leaked, but we don't really learn it. And that is these interviews. Like, I talked to one player that interviewed a position for a team. And one of the players, I'm not going to mention the player's name.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's like, he can't draw. I mean, this is a guy at the top of a position group. He could not draw up a run play from his team.
It's a problem.
Couldn't do it. Like, I mean, so that stuff gets out there, and right. you see how wise guys drop or whatever. I mean, what we saw, you know, in some of the drills is fine. But the stuff that you hear about, like, that stuff spreads quickly. What a player mentally just can't do it, you know, and is really limited. And now, not saying he can't be a good player. And the guy that I talked to said, I think he still could be a good player, Baldy. But you're going to have to coach this guy a little bit differently than maybe that we're used to.
It's a great point, Brian. I think when we talk about the intangibles, right, the physical attributes are one thing. We all know, being around this game as long as we have, there is a huge mental aspect, especially at those positions that you're talking about that play in. And a lot of teams, you know, hey, look, if I'm a general manager and my job's on the line, I'm not rolling the dice on that, right? So I got to be very careful. Jason, I want to dive in a little bit further where you were talking about. This week, the first domino fell, and you mentioned Matthew Stafford. So, guys, he talks to the Raiders. He talks to the Giants, right? And we knew he wanted a raise. The Rams knew he wanted a raise, right? I'm underpaid, all right? Look at what I'm doing. I need my 50 mil. Let's make this happen. And the Rams go, no, you go talk to other teams. And then it plays out where he obviously goes back to the Rams, and we're going to see the financials of that deal here coming out soon enough. But if you're Joe Shane and you're Brian Daboll, right, what are you thinking now? Because this was like, hey, we're going to get a chance to get Stafford. Well, this is great.
You did have a chance, but you were going to have to blow him out of the water and pay enough of a premium that he's going to leave the comforts of Malibu and a coach who he knows can get him to the playoffs every year and knows how to manage him through a season. And I'm going to go to your rebuild where your protection schemes and your offensive line or whatever, I don't know about. And I'm going to have to play outdoors and I'm going to play in the cold. I have to get beat up just to make the playoffs. So, I mean, look, I think they did the right thing. They said, hey, man, you've been all we could have hoped for. We've got some other things we got to deal with. Go out there and see what's out there for you. And if there's a deal to be made, we're open to it. So they did right by him. And ultimately, he came back. And let's face it, he's on a whole nother level than anybody else who's available.
Yes.
And when that guy doesn't leave the nest and doesn't reset the market and doesn't take one of those teams off the board, he stays put. I think, again, to what I was talking about before, it has a chilling effect on the whole market. And mm-hmm. a whole bunch of other guys are like, well, oof, what does that mean for Justin Fields? You know, what does that mean for Daniel Jones? Or, you know, what does that mean for Kirk Cousins? Like, yeah, and some of those guys like Cousins, the money is what it is. I mean, he'll be out of there. Carl, you know this, and it's just a matter of how much Atlanta has to eat.
Yep.
And I think if I'm Atlanta right now, I'm like, ooh, we might have to eat. We might have to eat a fair bit of that to get anything back in return.
Yeah.